If only Audible was free and had nothing but Bitcoin content. Fear no more. The crypto economy is here. All right, guys, welcome back to the crypto economy. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know, and we are starting into a two-part episode, and we are going to or a series here on the Bitcoin Times. This is Alexander Svetsky's really fascinating first volume to a ongoing series that it looks like he's doing. There's a volume two coming out soon, and I'm really excited about it. We'll stay on top of this, but I really wanted to hit this piece because this is the first volume, and it is titled "Blockchain is Dead." Like I said, this is going to be broken up over two episodes, and I'm actually just going to save my commentary until the very end. Let's go ahead without further ado and jump into part one of The Bitcoin Times, Volume 1. Blockchain is dead. The future is on Lightning. Contrarian views, Bitcoin, networks, Lightning, and more. By Alexander Svetsky. Where should we focus this year? Blockchain! It'll change everything! Everybody's talking about it. The potential applications are endless. We don't want to be left behind. What exactly is blockchain? Also, artificial intelligence! Quote, "What important truth do very few people agree with you on?" End quote. Peter Thiel. In early 2018, I was on stage talking about how ridiculous blockchains and ICOs were. My talk was entitled "Blockchain's AOL Moment," in honor of the complete failure that AOL became and the magnificent success that, quote, silly, useless, slow network, the internet, had become. Some people laughed, some got angry, but the smart ones, well, they listened. And in the process, probably saved themselves a lot of money. This year, I'm going to up the ante. The word blockchain is still alive. It's just moved from the vocabulary of the opportunistic so-called entrepreneurs, aka morons, to the other end of the spectrum, corporates. Corporates like IBM and JP Morgan, who we all know are always late to the party. It takes a little time for the marketing department suffering from FOMO to get their message across to the board, i.e., we need to do something with this blockchain thing. So this year, we will probably see some ridiculous enterprise blockchain stuff appear, but I predict they too will fade away into oblivion, like the ICOs of the last few years and AOL 20 years before that. So, what important truth do very few people agree with me on? It's the ultimate contrarian question, isn't it? My answer, and the inspiration behind this paper, blockchain is dead. The future is on Lightning. The last few years have been a festival of hype, stupidity, and downright madness. It's time to call out and discard the rubbish and lay a fresh foundation. One of understanding and sense, because it's only when we remove layers of ignorance that we can experience the light bulb moment. Quote, "In order to learn something new, one must question what it is they think they already know." End quote. Unknown. A note. Quote, "These notes were originally the basis of a presentation for Wholesale Investors' 2019 Emergence event. However, as I began to elaborate on the ideas, I realized my 30-minute presentation would blow out to around 3 hours. Whilst I have been described as entertaining on stage, I don't think any sane human would want to listen to me lecture for 3 hours." End quote. Alexander Svetsky. Welcome to the first publication of the Bitcoin Times. This special edition was inspired by three mildly excessive rants from our chief editor,
two having occurred at 3 a.m. in the morning, and another whilst driving and dictating to one Chantel De La Rey, frantically tapping away on the phone, taking notes. The team at Amber decided to transform all that content into one broad but concise, digestible and informative publication, aptly entitled as the first edition of the Bitcoin Times. In the pages that follow, you'll find the important information that brings the key elements of the Bitcoin story together. And by the time you finish, you'll understand the premise behind the shock headline and why, if you're an investor, entrepreneur, fund manager, or human of any sort, you should be taking a serious look into how you can participate in both Bitcoin and Lightning. We don't expect everyone to get as excited about all this as we are, but do anticipate this will most likely be for the benefit of the skeptics, the curious, the diehard stubborn minority, aka holders of last resort. So we dedicate this to you all. We hope you get a lot out of it, that it challenges some of your more unfounded biases and beliefs, reinforces those that make sense, and helps you emerge on the other end with a broader perspective. The Bitcoin Times editorial team. Breaking the blockchain. Quote, "I must break you." Rocky IV. Blockchain doesn't work. About halfway through a few of last year's talks, I presented what I called the new formula. A formula that, if dismissed as an experiment and allowed to grow large enough, would lay the foundation for a new form of global collaboration, consensus, value storage, and transfer, but only if we take all the elements in combination. Networks, game theory and mechanical design, cryptography, proof of work and Byzantine fault tolerance, social engineering and psychology, computer science, decentralization and distributed computing, economics incentives and disincentives, and a data structure, blockchain. This formula, this recipe, would come to yield something that is technically and socially secure, natively digital and globally distributed, shut down and censorship resistant, practically immutable. And as a result of maintaining the sanctity of the above attributes, this formula would also produce something that was, relatively speaking, slow, very expensive to run, and limited in direct scope. Much like the internet, the only thing the actual internet can do is route packets of dumb data. What do I mean by direct scope? Well, it's the number of things this formula can and should be used for, and that includes verifiable digital scarcity, a secure, unconfiscatable monetary unit, a self-sovereign digital store of value, and a global, immutable digital settlement network. But here's the kicker. What we can then build with the above and on top of the above is endless. Much like language and the internet, simple rules, i.e. protocols, create a solid foundation. This gives you the opportunity to build infinite complexity on top. So where did blockchain go wrong? In short, a complete lack of contextual understanding, both on a macro and micro level. But let's explore three key points. Context, scrambled eggs, focus, and overkill, Rube Goldberg. Number one, context. First of all, what I like to call the scrambled eggs theory. The blockchain ingredient on its own does not give you any of the attributes we discussed earlier. Security and immutability are not some inherent traits that magically appear thanks to blockchain. Security is a function of cost and comes as a result of all of those ingredients combined. In fact, anyone who tells you otherwise has probably convinced themselves that a great cake is made with only one ingredient, for example, eggs, and that they could make you a better cake if they whisked the eggs much faster. The reality is they're not selling you cake, they're selling you scrambled eggs. I'm sorry, but that's not how things work. Taking the one ingredient out of context does not yield the same result. Number 2. Focus. The innovation here is autonomous consensus. Removing intermediaries means just that. If it must be run by some entity or trusted institution, it just reinforces its inherent uselessness. There is zero reason to use a blockchain if someone is managing it. It's a much more practical approach to just build a tech product that solves the problem. There is no need to slow it down by creating excess redundancy, especially when there's no actual disintermediation of a managing party. You end up with the worst of both worlds. Number 3. Overkill. You could be in the other camp that says, quote, "We agree blockchain isn't that entire recipe, we just use the term for shorthand. We just believe it should be used everywhere," end quote. I'm here to tell you that taking the entire recipe and applying it to anything other than the four direct applications I mentioned above is complete overkill. There is nothing as critical to the function of society as money or value transfer, as I'll explain later, that could justify or require such an expensive method of disintermediating central authorities. I mean, the very essence of bad acting or stealing is related to money or value. A major reason why the institutions we trust to manage money exist in the first place is that maintaining some form of integrity in the money we use to represent our labor is the foundation of our ability to cooperate as a species. Bitcoin is simply a better way to do this, and places that guarantee of integrity into code backed by math and agreed to via broad participatory consensus. So to sum up, we really only have two situations when it comes to blockchain, summed up by my sophisticated chart below. A, blockchain alone. If we take one ingredient out of the recipe, or even just combine it with a couple of others, for example, the distributed computing part, DLT as it's now being touted, it's a complete waste of time, and the fact that it must be run by some consortium or trusted institution just reinforces its inherent uselessness. B, the entire recipe. On the other hand, for anything other than what I described above, i.e. money or a settlement network, it's a Rube Goldberg machine. It's too expensive, and if we needed that level of validation for everything we do as a society, then nothing would function anyway. People, groups, companies, entrepreneurs, etc. are generally trustworthy and doing the right thing most of the time. We don't need everything on a blockchain. The issue lies with groups or institutions that have disproportionate power, that have abused that power, and that have very little or no skin in the game. And whilst there are less of those in number, they create distortions in society due to their size and ability to tamper with the core resource for human collaboration. A network such as Bitcoin that reinvents, codifies, and liberates something as important as money, like the internet did for information and communication, changes the game for the better by reintroducing symmetry. But it's expensive, and as I've stated, there's nothing else as mission-critical in the world that warrants the application of this formula to be successful. Blockchain's broken promise. The promise of blockchains that would solve all the world problems came in the form of two key attributes, security and immutability. That was it. Game, set, match. Let's now use it everywhere. The problem with this conjecture, as we established above, is that blockchains are not mysteriously endowed with these attributes because of their unique technical architecture. In fact, there is nothing unique about blockchain architecture. It's just chunks of data, segmented and chronologically connected, and these days supposedly across multiple servers, in the case of the new buzzword DLT. Let me be clear. This does not give you anything that's secure. Security and immutability are a derivative of cost. And cost only comes from combining all ingredients in the recipe, as discussed earlier. Bitcoin is different. Why? Bitcoin is the most secure public digital network we have, not because it's built on the blockchain, but because it combines that form of database architecture, I'll call it that because that's what it is, with a robust, game-theoretically sound economic model, with a well-thought-out incentive and disincentive mechanism, and proof of work, which solves the Byzantine general's problem in a distributed or decentralized system and introduces the game theory. In other words, Bitcoin is secure and immutable because it has a currency baked into the protocol that is priced by the free market, where its value is inextricably linked to the security of the network by incentivizing each of the participants of the network, whether validators, judges, users, etc., economically. It is in everyone's self-interest and therefore collective interest to maintain the integrity of the ledger, micro, and the network, macro. It is probabilistically sound and becomes more so with time. This means it's Lindy compatible and is the most robust form of system you can have. That is the innovation. An autonomous network that's made up of participants at multiple layers, all with skin in the game. Not blockchain or DLT. The limestone analogy. When people get up and begin to talk to me about how they're going to use the blockchain to solve supply chain or whatever other mostly ridiculous idea they have, it reminds me of someone who just discovered that limestone aggregate in concrete makes for better strength and better overall properties in concrete, so they then apply it to everything else. They put limestone in their green smoothie, on their avocado and toast, in their latte, as a back rub on their partner's skin, and even as fuel in their car. Why? Because of course it makes everything better. It's preposterous. And it can only come from people who have a thin veneer of an ideology that they've adopted, without either being able to understand or even bother to understand what's actually going on. Bitcoin's superpower, immutability. Let's take a quick break and hit our sponsor, and then we'll jump back in on this section. Immutable equals resistant to change. To go back in time and change one transaction on the Bitcoin ledger, it would not only require you to accumulate enough mining equipment or capital cost, but also expend enough power to win the proof-of-work game and validate the blocks from that point forward to today. This is not only financially insane, but almost physically impossible. Why? It's the cost of validating transactions and maintaining the network of distributed but consistent ledgers that gives something like Bitcoin its immutability. For someone to change something on this network in the past, it would cost billions. In fact, it would require something like 3 trillion, with a T, modern high-end laptops worth of computing power just to change one transaction on Bitcoin. That is the definition of immutable. It's this proof of work that brings the cost into Bitcoin and forms the basis of the game theory. Proof of work is the bridge between the digital and the real world, and the sunk cost of capital and work done is what makes it immutable. People hear words like cryptography or encryption or hashing together with terms such as blockchain and mistakenly assume that it somehow got something to do with immutability. They also hear that mining uses lots of electricity and is bad for the environment from those with an ineptitude to math, probability, or game theory, and by not understanding the broader recipe at work here. They think that they can discard that expensive proof-of-work part and keep the nice, fluffy, inexpensive software, or blockchain, part. But as we've established, there's a problem with that line of thought. If there is no cost to change something, then we're back where we started. In other words, taking someone's word that this is the way it is, which, as I stated, works in 99.9% of cases. I.e., if you can't trust your family member or coworker, you've got bigger problems. Putting it on a blockchain is not going to solve it. But not when you're driving the narrative of immutability, sovereignty, or security. So I'll say it again. Security and immutability are functions of cost. Proof of work is the part that looped it all together and helped us, for the first time in history, associate a real-world cost to an ephemeral, fungible digital object. Furthermore, because proof of work is a compounding phenomenon, it only gets stronger and more immutable with time. This is at the core of why people say, quote, Bitcoin is anti-fragile. It benefits from the passage of time, the Lindy effect. Bitcoin is the first time we've had a digital good that functions like something physical. And because it's bound by math, it's able to be verifiably scarce, whilst maintaining the scalability that only comes with something that is natively digital. The banana example. If I give you a banana in the real world, I no longer have it. If I send you a digital banana, all I did was copy it, and now we've both got a record of it. If I send you some Bitcoin, I no longer have it, just like the banana in real life. It's now yours. I didn't create a new one, I didn't copy it, and I can't reverse it. I can't go back in time. The only way I can get it back is if you send it back. But that's a new, totally separate transaction, forward in time. Bitcoin is the first and probably last network of its kind that's reached this status. Why? A big part of it was luck and timing. Bitcoin got, quote, this is bullshit, for 5 years before anyone even took it remotely seriously. For someone to catch up and replicate this level of infrastructure, they'll need something like $100 billion and hope that nobody realizes what they're doing and attempts to compete, because it will then cost each player more than $100 billion. The result of all of this would only reinforce Bitcoin's importance and drive its value higher, and create this self-reinforcing feedback loop which asymptotically approaches a cost of infinite. Bitcoin was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Andreas said it best. Quote, proof of work in Bitcoin is now significant because it was historically insignificant. People take it seriously now. If you try to replicate this experiment again, you'll be noticed, you'll be attacked, and by the time you've made any headway, Bitcoin will have progressed further. Think about it. This network grew from $0 to $100 billion worth of value stored on it, along with infrastructure built around it, with no marketing budget. Tell me the last time something like that occurred. The closest analogy is the internet, except this time, quote, measurable value is associated with the network, so it's a little more contentious. This also explains why all the others have had to raise non-dilutive capital rounds and sell the, quote, fat protocol thesis in order to make noise and get some attention. I guess everyone wants to own this, like the telcos wanted to own the internet. The reality is that public networks so far down the societal stack are owned by the collective, which is what gives them power. Time and volume of participants are on their side. Every day that Bitcoin remains operational, it gets stronger, more secure, more immutable, more robust, more trusted, and more valuable. In fact, its Lindy effect seems to be accelerating, which is something we've not seen before. For every day a competitor grows, Bitcoin grows by multiples or magnitudes more. Network effects are runaway trains, and Bitcoin's immutable proof-of-work network has taken off and will be practically impossible to catch up with. This is why I believe trillions worth of economic activity will anchor to it. The same way as the internet was the most robust way to route information across the new digital world, Bitcoin is the most robust global network upon which money can live, and via which it can be settled and routed. Asterisk, should the value be large enough to justify routing directly on it? Immutability as a service. Quote, Bitcoin provides immutability as a service. There are not many applications in the world that need immutability, and perhaps only a couple that need to build immutability as part of their core stack. It's just too expensive. Now, if we view immutability as a service, one that any application in the world can anchor or connect to, then we begin to reframe how we view Bitcoin, i.e., as a broader network that settles transactions or states with value associated to them. An example here will help. There is no reason, or very little reason, that any company, tech or otherwise, today needs to buy, host, and maintain its own server infrastructure. It's costly, and it makes up only a fraction of what matters in their actual business. So, they use a cloud-based service, such as AWS. You'll also note that because of the economies of scale, there are only three real options: AWS, Azure, and Google. Why? They got in early and they poured billions upon billions into it. Immutability is similar, but also different. Similar because the infrastructure required to make something truly digitally immutable is extraordinary. Perhaps even more than all of the combined infrastructure that Amazon, Microsoft, and Google operate. And it only makes sense that people will anchor to it as and when they need to. Different because it's not something that can be run by one or a few parties. A concept like immutability and things that inherently need it, i.e. money, are only so if broadly owned. In other words, the more distributed and decentralized the architecture, and higher the number of owners, validators, and nodes, the more robust, costly, and therefore immutable it is. Should one or a few entities manage all of it, it then undermines the value proposition and defeats the entire purpose. The immutable network. Immutability as a service is what will bring more economic activity to the Bitcoin network in the long run. Again, similar to the internet. The internet started off as a way to connect computers at a distance, and over time, as more people used and trusted it, it evolved into this new communication network that provides data, packet routing, as a service. We built everything on top, and the innovation has been extraordinary. The next step is baking monetary value into a protocol owned by the collective, whose core tenet is absolute digital immutability, a network where you can't turn back time, like in the real world. All of the economic value from applications that require this feature, along with any broader monetary, banking, capital, or financial applications that require an absolute guarantee of the following functions: send, store, and receive will accrue on it. And as I've stated ad nauseum, the more economic activity that occurs on and on top of the Bitcoin network, the more immutable and secure it will become. It's compounding. It is self-reinforcing. It has already hit a critical mass, and it's now a runaway train. Other consensus mechanisms. There are, and there will continue to be, lots of other consensus mechanisms created. Some that might work, most that definitely won't. They may be used on their own networks, for applications that are either private, proprietary, or for applications that don't require an absolute guarantee of immutability and security. I personally don't believe any money-related or high-value applications will run on their own networks, except in vain over the next as this space evolves, because networks, especially those where the broad population participate, generally converge to unity. That's why we largely have one internet, one set of protocols for email, why we all use AC power, why within a particular jurisdiction the network of language converges to one, and similarly so with money. There is one USD in the United States, likewise one AUD in Australia. In fact, we see this as the world becomes more global. English hit its critical mass, attained the primary network effect, and it's now more functional to speak English in most places around the world. Aside from converging to unity due to efficiency and practicality, the world can probably only sustain one absolute, immutable, uncensorable, secure proof-of-work chain, because it's expensive. This chain is likely, at this stage at least, to be Bitcoin. If we had to run proof-of-work for everything, we'd destroy the planet. Plus, it assumes nobody trusts each other for anything, which is a bigger problem anyway. And A, if someone wants to use it as a service, they're going to go to the one that has got the highest guarantee. That in itself will increase the network's guarantee, leading to that self-reinforcing recursive effect I described earlier. And B, furthermore, if you do have a novel, quote, light consensus mechanism that's fast, you could in the future anchor it to something like Bitcoin as and when you need to substantiate any claim or make a final judgment. It's this line of logic that leads me to believe most of the economic value will be swallowed up by the Bitcoin network over the long term, not to mention the new concepts and innovations that will emerge using the ingredients of immutability and verification, like how Facebook and Instagram emerged from the internet. BOS, the new monetary operating system. All right, we're going to close this one out here. Again, this is the Bitcoin Times Volume 1. This was actually published on February 25th, 2019. I did not open with that at all, but I will have a link to this. There's lots of actually pictures. I tried to read like the comics and some of the other little additions and quotes and stuff. This is actually set up and really cool in like an environment online, so you can actually check that out at bitcointimes.news. So I will link to that, and we actually, Connor Brown is actually going to be doing some of the writing in the next volume. He alluded to that in yesterday's episode, actually, so if you haven't listened to that one about stop calling Bitcoin deflationary, that is another one to go along with this whole piece. So also, I will have in the show notes not only the link to this and to Alexander Svetsky's Twitter page so that you can check him out and follow him on Twitter, but also the link to the conversation that we had with him. We sat down with him at Bitcoin 2019 and had an awesome chat with him and Also, the guys from the Citizen Bitcoin podcast had an awesome time, so that is a wonderful one to check out where he goes into this and kind of details out the backstory, and there's some hilarious stuff in that one. So I highly encourage that one if you have not listened to it. Again, all this stuff available in the show notes. Thank you guys so much for listening. We're going to continue this with part two tomorrow, and we will dig into some really fun commentary all about blockchain versus Bitcoin in the next couple of days. So stay tuned. Don't forget to subscribe and share this out with everybody you know in the Bitcoin and crypto economy space. And until next time, I am Guy Swan signing off. Take it easy, guys.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.